Thank you. call me Ishmael. River City Sound for having us for a second time. This is going to be a selection of new songs, so I hope you like them. All right. This song is called Claire Hale.
Yeah. There are two wolves inside of you.
Oh yeah, have you seen that one? That's like one that goes, oh shoot, oh, shoot, and one that goes.
Perfect.
So this is River City Sounds, episode 65. We are here once again with Followship. They were our 10th episode. Would you like to go around and introduce yourselves clockwise?
Dylan Edwards, guitar.
Devin Hatcher, vocals.
Cameron Hatcher, bass.
Ben Pilch, guitar.
Spencer, drums.
For reference, it doesn't matter. That was counterclockwise, but I guess it doesn't matter. Anyways, so last time we had you guys on was March 29th of 2019. So it's been a little bit of time here, and didn't bring my notebook. It's on my phone now. Brianna sent it to me. So we're going to be a little disjointed here. I did write these a little bit ago.
Awesome.
So first off, would you guys consider yourselves moving towards hardcore or farther away from hardcore with your new music you've been putting out here?
I think post-hardcore is such a wide genre. It's a wide umbrella, and I always just say that. I usually just say we're like post-hardcore.
Mm-hmm.
Unless I'm talking to like a really old person, then I'll just say I play rock music.
Yeah.
But classic.
Yeah,
but yeah, like post-hardcore, it's a pretty wide genre. I mean, I just consider it as like kind of like heavy-ish music that pulls in elements from mm-hmm. a lot of different genres. So our newer stuff, definitely probably a little more like Coheed or like Dance Gavin Dance or like Inspired. So yeah, a little bit more like clean vocals, but you know, still some heavy stuff in there.
I think we're moving further away from it personally, at least with just the next release that we're going to have. Mm-hmm. We're moving further away from hardcore, that is. And I don't think that was intentional. I think it's just because you have a variety of songwriting and then we do as well. There's not as many heavy parts harmonically, rhythmically. There's not as much screaming right. on the EP coming up. So I feel like based on that, I think you can kind of label it as less hardcore than the album we put out last year, pretty much. But I think the cool thing is that that's just right now. Like, it's just a phase, or it's just a release. Like,
exactly. It's just a phase, Mom.
Yeah, exactly. It's just a phase after all.
Yeah. I feel like the post-hardcore label gives us a lot of freedom to do whatever we want. And I think that the variety of styles we bring in is like a central aspect of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I just heard you guys talking about Glassjaw. Would you still consider yourselves to be like Glassjaw musically meets Coheed and Cambria vocals? Because that's what I think you guys said last time. Is that a good description of what you guys do now to the more in the know people?
Yeah, I mean,
I guess I would still say so.
I would still say so. I think when people like come up to me and talk about my vocals, it's usually one of those two singers most of the time. They'll compare it to either Daryl from Glassjaw or Claudio from Coheed. I've gotten some other random ones, but that's pretty consistent.
What's been like your favorite random one?
Chester Bennington.
Oh, nice. Yeah,
I don't hear that at all. But I was like, okay, thank you. I don't really, like, he's a great vocalist, but you know, I think he's a pro, like really, really good. Mm-hmm.
So last time we saw you guys, I believe Ben had just joined the band, correct?
Yeah.
And now it's a couple years, 3 years later, still the same members. Do you guys want to talk about that? Seems like your bond may have been more solidified in the past couple years.
Definitely. For sure.
How was that to go through COVID and everything like that?
You want to say something, Ben?
Oh, sure. I mean, I've been living kind of like a couple hours away up north, and I came back home and I had to stay in Richmond during COVID, and it gave me a lot of opportunities to spend more time with the guys, and we got ourselves like really solidified for studio. But since it stopped, you know, I don't know, I've had to be driving back and forth a lot, and I will always make it because I love these guys and really enjoy playing music with them. So glad to be along for the ride, you know.
So yeah. Recording, great segue to my next question. So since the last time we have seen you, you guys have put out one album, Violet Teenage Violence, right. And that was August of 2021.
Correct.
And then a few singles, one of which being Swan Song in February of 2022.
Yep.
Now you just said to me you did not go with minimum wage recording. Where did you guys take that at?
We went to a place called Full Circle Recording. The guy who runs it, his name is Dan Uphoff, excellent audio engineer. He actually, him and Dylan have known each other for a while.
Okay.
Yeah, I worked with him when I was a kid, and I quit my high school band, and I had all these songs written, and my parents were kind enough to help me financially to record those songs, and Dan was a guy I happened to meet at a bowling alley that played a show with my band, and he was dressed as a shark at the time, and that was my first impression of him. I don't know if he remembers that or not, but that was pretty funny. But yeah, like that one experience I had recording with them really shaped so much of my perception of music. It like it's one of those things where I never listened to music or played guitar or sing or did anything musically the same way again, because so I just had like a special connection with him, sort of like educating me, but not even directly. It was creative, it was educational and inspiring, and for years I wanted to go back to him, but I just didn't have like a reason to, you know, like I didn't have a band that was in a position to do that for a while. And we were talking about options. I guess by the time the pandemic hit, it was pretty obvious at that point.
We didn't even know if or when we would record, or like if we'd play
right,
any
we didn't
shows
have anything
ever again.
So by the time you know March 2020 rolls around, like nothing was set in stone for us to record or anything, and it's like, okay, at this point it's pretty clear like we're gonna have a lot of downtime. So
yeah, we were like doing a lot of work before all that happened to like get ready to record. So then when, you know, the lockdown first happened, we were just kind of like, okay, well, we don't really know what's gonna happen now. We like stopped practicing. We just kind of like talked on the phone here and there.
Yeah.
And then
we determined like what our budget was, what sonically we wanted to have come out of our songs, and figured that vision out a little bit more clearly. And then, you know,
demos.
We were still doing demos at the time. We finished those up during the earlier stages of the pandemic, I guess. But then it was like, the thing about Dan is not only is he extremely experienced and like technically, he has all the attention to detail and like engineering ability that you would possibly need to just make like a rock album in general, I feel like. But also, it helped a lot that he's also like a Glassjaw fan and Every Time I Die fan. Like the 2000s era of like post-hardcore is kind of like a centerpiece of his taste. So it made a lot of sense to trust him with the songs that we came in with. But for the most part, it's like he just got what the songs were about and we trusted him, he trusted us, and we came out with something pretty tight, I think.
Okay.
I think so.
And he's just a great guy. Oh, I love him.
He's also swole.
Oh, yeah, dude.
When you guys record and he just, like, does some lifts.
That's right.
Yeah. And if you fuck up,
get
he...
a sweat on.
Oh, you don't want to fuck up.
That was not money.
So this will be more Spencer and Devin here. For songwriting, has it mostly stayed the same, you think? And does Devin still write the drums?
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, for these like new batch of songs, I still kind of so we have some songs like Swan Song was mainly written by Dylan.
Mm-hmm.
Claire Hale was mainly written by Ben. So, and they in that case, like I know Ben wrote the drums for Claire Hale, and then Swan Song
you think what I'm thinking, right?
Dylan wrote the drums, but they were when he programmed them, they were kind of funny because they made the double bass like way too fast.
I put some 30-second notes in there. I'm sorry.
So yeah, I would still say it's like mostly the same. Like for these other new songs, like I made some demos, brought them to everybody else, and we kind of worked them out in our practice space. You know, as we continue, we'll probably still have songs like that. We'll have other songs by these two guys, maybe even Cameron or Spencer, if they write anything, you know, they're welcome to.
So when the non-drummers write drums and demo them for the band, is it mostly like, are you guys on a drum set yourselves, or do you guys usually have like a little program you're doing?
Ben rips it on the drums.
Okay.
And Devin also rips it on the drums.
And I suck at drums. And I sit in front of my keyboard and copy paste tiny little MIDI dots make something and adjust it.
Yeah, like when we demo it though, yeah, it's just like programmed drums. We don't really have the ability to record.
But the distinction is Ben is a drummer.
Right.
And he typically he's in touch with what is exactly physically done on drums, and he uses that when he creates something something on drums. I do not do that.
And then he shows me the part, and then I go, okay, I can't play that.
Yeah. Well, so that's what I was about to ask, because, I mean, like, your performance is, you know, tremendous. Like, your playing is very, very good. Like, there's no way to understate that, and I would not... I'm right now thinking, like, you know, they have, like, a basis for it, and you usually... miff it up, you know, not miff it up, but you usually add your own little face and flair to it. Because I mean, you, like I said, are a tremendous player.
Thank you, man.
Absolutely.
I don't want to downplay
any
of your input, of course. I'm assuming you kind of take more of their input and then kind of change to your own, I'd assume.
Yeah, I definitely take what they have and I take that blueprint and the meat and potatoes and then I maybe, you know, change it up a little bit the way I would do it.
Add some broccoli.
Absolutely. Add some broccoli.
See, what you need to do now is write a song on drums and just like fill it out, guys.
That would be sick. I agree.
Well, yeah, New Gods, one of our songs, Spencer came up with the drum, like the verse drums first. So that has been done before. Like, so I think like most of the songs that we have are kind of like I've written them and then brought it to everybody else. But there's a few songs here and there that are, you know, not just that same kind of thing. And, you know, we're going to keep writing songs. We'll probably be a little bit more collaborative in the future. That's what I imagine happening.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, we were definitely a lot more collaborative on this EP that's about to come out.
Yeah. So probably the next thing that comes out, even more collaborative.
So would you guys say that during the pandemic kind of made you, I don't know, more productive? Because there definitely is that situation where people are less productive from the pandemic.
It's actually funny, like, yeah, I think we were actually more productive.
Yeah,
because everyone says they want to be more productive during. Because
that's
pandemic.
When we like actually
we were able to get together a lot.
Yeah,
to like to demo and like make the album because we made the album towards the end of 2020.
It may have just been because it wasn't until the pandemic that we set a defined goal and booked studio time and all of that. So that's a probably a pretty big factor in why we were productive during that time. But clearly because, like, I mean, most of us, you know, when the pandemic started, we also were at least temporarily laid off work or whatever. Mm. So there was plenty of actual time that we didn't have before to actually get together and rehearse and record demos and all of that. So
I don't know if this is true for if anyone else would say this, but I know that for me, these were my this was my bubble. And so I got to get out of the house once a week and go to practice.
Okay, yeah.
So that was fun.
There you go.
Yeah.
So since the last time we have talked, you have went on your first tour. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
You guys like to talk about that experience and what that was like?
Yeah. It was a lot of fun. Definitely didn't make any money, but...
just get that out of the way.
Yeah, but it was a lot of fun. I'm so happy that we did that, and we want to do more. I feel like that was, like, as far as, like, growth for the band and making new fans, that was, like, the epitome. You know, we grew a lot, met a lot of people.
Met some really cool people out in other states.
We won, like, I think it was, like, what, February?
Yeah,
we like went up north, so
late February.
Played it like five.
Yeah,
it's like a five show.
And we have to thank Asylum 213 because they were the ones that booked that show, and I guess you could say headline technically.
Booked the tour.
Yeah, sorry.
We kind of.
I would say it was a co-headline because we.
Go.
Well, that aside, they orchestrated what
we were better than that. Did.
We love you.
But anyway,
hear that, Dylan?
Other Dylan.
Sorry,
Lawson.
Dylan Lawson. Yes.
No, we love those dudes, and we like creatively, like the fact that both of our bands do sort of these like genre hybrid styles. It was such a good fit. They're also just really fun and have a hilarious, like, very strange sense of humor. And you can see that in their Instagram content. And also, if you hang out for like 30 seconds with them, you'll pick up on it as well. But they're also just brilliant musicians. They have great songs. And I like some of the specific spots that we played at. The fact that they found those, like, the house show scene.
I think the best shows we played were house shows.
Yeah, definitely. The fact that they got connected with, like, we're in New Jersey, New Brunswick, New Jersey. That was probably our favorite collectively,
that was
right?
It was a place called Hex. Unfortunately, they're closed now.
Yeah.
But that was a really good show. We played another show, like, in upstate New York. That was also really good.
Mm-hmm.
Dude, that was the first time that I can remember, or at least a defining moment for me. These kids in New York were singing our lyrics back to us.
Huh, that's interesting.
Like, it was so surreal. It was awesome.
That was pretty cool.
Yeah.
I think about
that a lot still.
Was it more of a call
not
response?
Kids,
or was
young
not
adults.
Kids.
I'm sorry, yes.
Young adults.
Yeah, they were like teenagers, but they were singing our lyrics like as we were playing.
Which was pretty cool.
It's
hype.
Yeah, to leave your hometown and go somewhere else and see someone else that knows your songs just because you put something on the internet, it's pretty surreal.
Yeah.
Like,
pretty cool.
That was a first time for us to have that.
We didn't really touch on this too much last time. Before I jump to some questions, I want to see, I don't know who it is because I didn't put a name to it, but
it's okay.
Is there still an arborist among us who has a job?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Who is that again?
That's me, Spencer.
Spencer.
This is an arborist household.
It's
right
an arborist household.
Hey.
Yes, it's a very household.
Yeah, Spencer's girlfriend is also an arborist.
Also an arborist.
Yeah.
That's right.
Good to hear you guys are still employed as an arborist and still doing what you enjoy.
Yeah, no, we love it. It's fun.
The other thing I'd asked is, we still playing D&D.
I haven't played it in so long. I haven't, like, especially after the pandemic.
A lot of people broke up the DMD.
So I haven't been able to make the time now. I started playing, like, more, like, D&D video games.
Okay, dope.
Like, it was, like, a Pathfinder game I've been playing.
Yeah.
So.
So what are some shared interests that you guys might share, other than music?
Well, I feel like you guys have more shared interests.
I know, so Ben and I love anime.
Okay.
We watch a lot of anime, read a lot of manga.
Video games.
Video games, for sure.
Square Enix, shout out Square Enix.
Yeah, I mean, like, video games.
Yeah.
I'm not into anime as much. I guess I watch, like, Naruto. But video games.
I mean, aside from that, though, yeah, I mean...
I don't know. I feel like we're just good friends. I don't really...
Yeah.
Like, we don't, like... We, like, go out to eat, and we just, like, hang out.
That was about to be my
next
question. Do you guys... What's, like, a favorite restaurant for you guys all to go to?
Yeah, what was the spot when y'all lived in Chaco that we went to?
Was it called Rosie's?
Rosie's.
Rosie's.
Oh, yeah.
Rosie's, kind of, like, Yeah, kind of like Shaco was like a consistent spot for a while.
That, I just remember that like that was so fun. I guess that would that have been in it had to have been in 2020.
2020-ish, yeah.
So like we would have the entire back room to ourselves because no one else was there. We would just sit there and drink, and you'd have like you know papers like a mad scientist all the time like scripting out the music video and like all right, here's what we're gonna do, here's what we're not gonna do. That was just our spot. Like we got together for like that summer. We would just
because
they lived like a block or two, like walking distance from there. So we would just go to Rosie's and talk about what we wanted to do as a band, plan our next move, recording music videos, all that shit. That year, it was a lot of fun.
Okay, so we haven't
been there since, so we should go back.
We should go back.
Yeah.
Let me pick that up right there because I forgot to ask about that. Do you want to talk about some of the production behind the music video there?
Yeah, I
forgot about that.
We did it with this guy, Cody, how do you say his last name?
Massoff.
Cody Massoff. He does a lot of cool stuff. He's in a few bands as well. He's a drummer. I don't even remember how we met him though.
Well, so I guess I kind of brought us to him because I'm trying to think because we recorded the record in like 2020. Right. Or like half of it. We did like half of it 2020, the second half 2021.
Right.
I guess it was by 2021. I already had met Cody. Like we'd gone to a lot of the same shows. We had talked before. Okay. But 2021 he hit me up to play with Emma Gorell because he was the drummer for her at the time in that band. So I started hanging out with them and playing gigs with them and stuff. So I was around Cody a lot. And Cody is brilliant. Multi-talented. If you watch him, he always has drum covers, drum videos, very well recorded audio and video. So he's like, he's one of those guys that's just like
triple threat.
Yeah, but like, you know, like he's like, you know, if I want to have some presence and recognition in the scene, I'm gonna learn every trade required to do that I possibly can. And he just is like, so very inspiring person to be around, to say the least. So
creativity just pouring out of his ears.
So what didn't he do for the music video then?
He didn't come up with the concept, I guess.
Okay. No, well, fair. I just meant like more on the set that day. I said, my bad.
Yeah, true. I mean, he filmed it. He edited it. You know, he did give us some like good ideas, but yeah, we did it. And then we filmed it at our friend Shane Lumpkin.
His garage.
Yeah, he has like a studio garage kind of thing that he built. And then we filmed it there. We got our friend...
Tymir.
Yeah. He was the newscaster in our video.
Yeah.
I wrote the script. And kind of like came up with the general concept.
Very fun.
And then we kind of just like worked on it together. And yeah, and it came out pretty good, I think.
Cody took, for the newsroom, took a green screen and a freaking desk. And just edited that into the newsroom.
Just a table.
It wasn't even a desk. Yeah.
I mean, that's how they do it.
It was crazy.
His editing is on point. Mm-hmm. What was your question going
to be? I was just going to say, what was the inspiration to pick that specific recording studio to do the shot in? Was it something about the background that picked you, or?
I guess, like, the theme of the video or, like, the concept was that, like, we would be, like, trying to interrupt a news program.
Mm-hmm.
So... Who would interrupt a news program? Probably like people who had some like crazy planning, you know.
Okay.
Well, it was like we were supposed to be like anarchists or some like underground group in a like small meeting place, which would probably be a garage with like a bunch of stuff.
And we had like a little board. Had like a little board that was like a conspiracy theory thing. You know, like it's always sunny. Like that kind of thing. Oh, you know that meme?
Oh, yeah. Like,
you guys,
Pepe Sylvia?
Have you seen Airheads?
Airheads?
Yeah.
I've seen that movie a while ago.
Yeah, was it Brendan Fraser, Steve Buscemi, and Adam Sandler? They play a band together, and they take over a radio station to get their single
played.
That's exactly what I thought when you started saying
that. That movie, I've been seeing those memes forever. You know that one where, like, I'm going to tell my kids this was Metallica?
Yeah.
It's a picture of those motherfuckers. And I'm like, I don't know this movie.
It's quite good.
I've seen it a bit, but it's a funny movie.
I've never seen it. I got
to
see it.
I'm so glad I was able to research that super quick.
Yeah, it's kind of like the plot of that movie, then. I guess.
But yeah, so you have the electronics in the background and everything. You need to set yourself and put yourself in the air, basically.
Yeah, I guess it's not like we obviously don't have special effects.
I mean, you had some, a little bit.
And we weren't going to blow up the radio station or news station. We were just going to interrupt it with our little broadcast.
Mm.
Like, ooh,
no
like,
casualties.
No casualties, yeah. Mm-hmm. Just like an interruption. And somehow aliens made their way into the concert. So, you know, yeah.
Which kind of works because Cody's whole brand, Cody, who did the video, his brand is the Liquor Portal, which has like an alien and UFO logo. Okay.
Yeah.
So that just, you know, that was already out. A part of his like branding, so.
Right. And then we were in league with the newscaster the whole time.
Right, right.
What's poppin', gamers?
Tyner's pretty cool. He's also a musician. Hilarious.
Dude, I just remember that bit at the end, like, because that was improv, right? Like, he just, like, what's poppin', gamers? He dapped everyone up with me. And that's in the fucking thing.
I know.
You go to the end, you can see him just sad standing there, no one even acknowledged
him. I also just
kind
of stood there awkwardly, though, because I thought we were going to do another take of the end.
Right, yeah, but no, we're just like, nope.
Because I was a little confused.
I do understand that.
That's kind of the, I think that's the vibe. I mean, but yeah, that's like still like our most popular song. So I think the video definitely helped like kind of push that song out a little more.
Yeah.
That's like kind of like our signature song at this point.
Yeah.
So the revolution might be televised after all. Is the title. Perfect post-hardcore title.
Absolutely.
Gotta be a long one.
Perfect post-hardcore.
Classic. Get that pop filter.
Oh, yeah, sorry about that.
Very good. I'm just trying to figure out what I want to. All right. So do you guys like the Batman movie, the newest one that came out?
Ooh. Oh, yeah, that was really good. Yeah.
Are you guys actually fans of, like, real-life serial killers and shit? Can we have an open conversation about...
I
kind of
like
about...
Jeffrey... Well, not like...
Oh, man.
I love Jeffrey
Dahmer. Canceled. We're done. All right. No,
Jeffrey Dahmer.
I watched the Dahmer series.
I
think it's amazing,
I haven't watched it.
He is sympathetic. Here's going to be my question, basically. So the Riddler... The Riddler is basically presentation of Zodiac, but he kills like BTK. And then my question was going to be, and if this is too hard, we can just do another one. But,
no,
like,
no, please, this is the best part. Here we go.
Your next, who do you think should be the next villain for the Batman series, and what real life serial killers do you think they should emanate? So I'll give you an example of one, the Scarecrow, who I think that they should emanate similarly to. I don't know if you saw the documentary about the anthrax attacks in the United States. The doctor who was supposed to have done that. That will be kind of his, the way he delivers.
How the CIA and the FBI.
And stuff, exactly. And he's like, he's a teacher and stuff. And then he'll also have, like, almost the presentation of Richard Ramirez and the fact that he preys off fear. It's just, like, the worst fucking thing possible. And there also should be a blimp scene at the very end, because it's not Gotham City unless you have a police blimp, obviously.
For sure, for sure.
That's
kind of an interesting question, because, like...
That's what I think about at work all the
time. I only... Like, I only know, like, a few serial killers. Like, Ted Bundy's the guy who was, like, the super suave, kind of weird guy. And then, like, John Wayne Gacy is, like, the clown who, like, ate people or something.
Something, I don't know. Do y'all know the villain?
Well, so with the Joker then, right?
So the Joker, I would say, is Carl Panzeram, if you're aware of him.
Okay, is he, like, a kind of like a, like...
Carl Panzeram is, like, the worst all-time career criminal.
I honestly don't think the Joker should be the next villain, because they've done him a lot recently.
I know, but
like,
Barry Keegan did such a great job.
He did.
I kind of want like Mr. Freeze.
Mr. Freeze.
I want like a... I want
sympathetic.
So Mr. Freeze.
He's sympathetic.
No, I want like... sympathetic, but also like I need like a little more like just like a different... I don't want like necessarily like the same like creepy
ice
buns. So I need a guy with some weird technology to like trip up.
So yeah, not
I was
only
thinking Frozone.
Frozone.
super.
So not only has he already been teased as the next supervillain.
Okay.
This is where the whole theory of super, Batman rogues villains meets real life serial killers.
Okay.
It's from Last Podcast on the Left, where they said that Jeffrey Dahmer is basically Mr. Freeze.
Because
he kills for loneliness and all this stuff.
Yeah,
so that
could
work into the whole thing of Jeffrey Dahmer being...
Okay, let's do that.
Cool. Are y'all, is anyone familiar with Hush?
Yeah, I'm aware of that.
Oh, yeah,
he's dope. I read the comics for Hush, and he's so tight.
I've only seen the movie of it. I haven't actually read the comics.
Oh, wait,
but I'm aware
is this
of
the same thing where it's the woman that's deaf is a home invasion thing?
No, that's a movie.
Oh, that's the movie. No.
Oh, Hush is
the
cartoon with the plastic surgery dude who thinks he's...
Okay,
never mind. He has the fucking... He looks like
the
Invisible Man because he has the bandages.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. But he was like a mastermind type dude who was manipulating, like... He got Superman and Catwoman and freaking the Joker. He just had it all like worked out, and he was Bruce Wayne's like friend. Like, it was wild.
Okay.
It was like an old friend of his who did like some plastic surgery or some shit. Because didn't he think it was Jason Todd for a little bit.
Yeah, he thought it was Jason Todd.
So, I mean, we can go in on this.
But But it wound up like he thought that he was driven mad by, like the fact that his friend's dad died in a car crash and then his mom died later.
Mm-hmm.
But the kid was actually, his friend was actually mad because he was trying to kill both his parents to get their money.
Okay.
And then like, Bruce Wayne's dad saved his, like as a surgeon, saved one of his parents or something like that. It was crazy.
When we were watching the new Batman movie, I was just the whole time, what was it Dark Victory and The Long Halloween series, where they're talking about how the fucking coin came from this dude to go all the way to fucking Two-Face. And I'm like, so the coin actually came from him, his father, and that's how it came over to here. And she's like, shut the fuck up.
Well, that's what it really was.
I don't know anything about the accuracy.
The Long Halloween is completely convoluted.
Oh, yeah.
It's a convoluted.
I'll be honest, I don't know the accuracy of the films to these certain, like, stories and how canon it is with, like, with the comics, but I thought that the most recent Batman movie, just cinematically, like, the atmosphere, the imagery, the pacing of the story, everything about it felt more Batman to me than even the Nolan movies. And then the Nolan movies are great for their own reasons, but this felt, like, more of a Batman
world. Where is she?
So,
where's Rachel?
I know we're gonna, I kept saying I want to bring off Batman real quick to get the last question, but you are right about that, the fact that like it was supposed to be a detective film.
Dude,
actually world's greatest detective.
I love the detective.
That was like the best part of that.
Not to mention the fact where like he's running around like, I haven't slept in over 3 years. So where the fuck, like, that's all from Long Halloween where he's got his whole journal Rorschach does and all that stuff.
Also the Nirvana. There you go.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't think it'd work, but it kind of works, man. It kind of fucking works.
Yeah. I did it like 5 times.
It's so good.
So moody.
Oh, God.
We're going to round
next
out
Batman
here.
Question.
Next Batman question. Fine. All right. I'll ask you another Batman question. Who's your least favorite Batman actor?
Least favorite Batman actor?
Yes.
Ben Affleck.
Wow. No, George Clooney, like, that was a terrible movie. Like, the 90s bad. Most of those were pretty bad. Like, if we're going, like,
Batman,
I don't even know how many people. The
Val
one
Kilmer.
With the bat nipples or whatever.
That was Clooney.
That was, That actually had Mr. Freeze in it. That's why I want a better Mr.
Freeze.
Oh, with
Freeze.
I want, like, a good Mr. Freeze.
Cool.
See, that's why that one kind of has a little merit to me, because I like Arnold Schwarzenegger's,
I
spoon meet you. But, like, I don't care for the Two-Face with Val Kilmer. He's in the whole fucking purple face and shit.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
I didn't really care for Tommy.
It was probably one of those, like, either Val Kilmer or George Clooney, probably the worst Batman.
I'd have a soft spot in my heart for Adam West. That was my first Batman.
Oh,
yeah,
it
was
Batman. We all love Adam West.
The bomb.
Campaign purpose, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Oh, no, nuts.
Shark spray.
Yeah. Oh, what, God, what was that? You guys see, the Harley Quinn show.
I actually haven't seen that. It's like a cartoon.
Oh my God, it references literally everything that has ever happened.
I've heard
Batman
good things about that.
It's tremendous. They have Shark and Helmet.
Good.
Nice.
Yeah.
We do really need to end here because
there
actually has been a lot of content I don't want to cut out. So, what's everyone's favorite snack?
Favorite snack?
Snack.
What are the Cheez-Its that are like...
The Extra Blast? No?
So, you know Flavor Blasted Goldfish... I do be eating.
No.
Yes.
Okay, listen. Bacon and cheddar Cheez-Its are...
Hell yeah.
Yeah. No, they're amazing.
Snapped. Cheez-Its snapped.
Ah,
any of the
Cheez-Its
snapped
those are
is my favorite.
Good.
That's
are pretty
thing.
Good.
Yes.
Yeah. I eat cookies, like, too much. Chocolate chip cookies. Like I just buy, like, a bag of those at the ground.
What brand?
The Chips Ahoy.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
Classic.
Either like the chewy ones or the chunky ones.
Chewy.
Hell yeah.
Oh,
oh
yes.
Yeah.
I like the chewy ones.
I've disgustingly eaten like a whole, like almost a whole thing for
that's
dinner.
That's okay. It's good for your health.
I've recently rediscovered my favorite snack from a kid, from being a kid. And it was, I stole it from the kid. Actually. And it's apparently really polarizing. Fig Newtons.
Oh,
I
like
Fig
the
Newtons.
OG Fig Newtons, bro.
Yeah, I haven't had those in a long time.
I've just
had
been
flavor blasted.
The flavor blasted, yeah.
That's like
flavor blasted.
That's like a grandma kind of snack, you know.
That's what my mom would
think. I would think of Ben as the grandma.
Oh, yeah, bro. That's me.
Perfect.
All right. So I appreciate you guys being on here. If we did come to see you guys again in another couple of years, what would be some of the band goals you would like to have accomplished by then, or maybe by the end of this year?
Definitely want to... Well, we're going to be releasing an EP soon. A single probably next month.
Okay. Can you give us the name of that?
The EP... Well, the single is going to be Clear Hail.
Okay.
The EP, I will not give the name yet.
Ooh, fine. Cool.
But, so... And then we definitely want to go on another tour.
Mm-hmm. Second one should usually be better. You always got your groundwork laid out already.
Right. We have the experience now.
Yeah.
And, yeah, probably just... Also just release as much music as we can. That seems like the most fun, is to, like, make music and release.
I have a specific goal.
Yeah.
So, I feel like, as of last year, we played some shows with and made some friends with some bands outside of our hometown that are closer to the niche of music we actually play, mm-hmm. which it's great to be, like, in Richmond, and we can get with, like, an eclectic group of bands. Luckily, a lot of different people will have us on their show. But, like, the missing piece, shout out to them, mm-hmm. Pulses, Easy Way Out, like Maryland, D.C. area. Like, we've recently come in contact with bands that, like, fit within our specific niche of music a little more.
For sure.
I would love within the next few years for us to be more cemented into that broader scene, even just on the East Coast here.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, so maybe, like, some collabs or some tours with them would be pretty cool.
Yeah.
Even just... playing out of state more, mm-hmm. I would mm-hmm. say. You know, I feel like that's a pretty good goal.
Actually, the number one goal, let's play in Arizona.
Why Arizona specifically?
Yeah, why Arizona specifically?
Would be a dope place to play.
I mean, it is dope.
I just picked a state at random.
Okay. The first one.
I think Breaking Bad when I think.
Yeah, actually, that's why. I want to go to the Breaking Bad house.
Yeah. We're going to collab with Walter White.
Yeah, yeah.
Jesse! All right, guys. Well, I appreciate y'all being on. Thank you for letting me come to your house and everything. It was a great time. Once again, my name is Cole. This is episode 65 of River City Sounds, and we had with us...
Followship!
Yes, nice and loud. All right, nice.
Put your dick away, Walter.
Walter. Why did... Walter. Walter, I won't have sex with you, Walter.
All right, this one is called... Halved at Birth. Are we ready?
Cool.
Let's do it.
The morning, the light is almost infinity to the cell. So I'm falling, a picture perfect facade of mental health. It's nostalgia, it's a song chorus. Picking you up from the bottom just inside to let you go. I'm giving you up for good. For sure, love is understood.
give you up for good. Bet on a future that my better half would.
Awesome. All right, this last song is called Swan Song. Appropriate title, I suppose, for the last song in the set list. All right, let's go. All right, everybody ready?
Lust is on the long list of things you think that we have enough. With that stride, how dangerous. So big your world is, as strong as your blood. Blah, blah, your promise left for much sound. Blah, blah, black to broken world. If you only knew life unfolds, if you only knew that, go! If you only knew that you were alone, well then maybe I might find you. For love alone, knowing this is dangerous, but I'm too scared to leave with it all in the dust. Let's all rush. Holy, aren't you fine? We know at heart comes out to a voice out, waking out words, power through the long lost memory. For love alone, knowing this is dangerous, but I'm too scared to leave, baby, but I'm gonna die. Stripping love in the booty truck, but I can't trust the words anymore. For love alone, knowing this is dangerous, but I'm too scared to leave, baby, but I'm gonna die. Stripping love in the booty truck, but I can't trust the words anymore. Whoa. Bye-bye, your promise right from my soul. Bye-bye, believe in the bone. Better days where our golden memories become reality.